This is Bronco Tuesday, taking a look at Boise State Athletics with coaches and players. Now here's Bob Beeler, Chris Walton, and Paul Jay on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
All right, top of the morning. It is Bronco Tuesday. Paul Jay, Chris, Bob Beeler, and a couple of special guests, Dusty Clements, the Senior Associate Athletic Director for External Affairs, or External Operations, excuse me, and Bart Hendricks, who's the Director of Development at Boise State. Well, we're out of time. You guys got those long titles.
Good talk.
Bart, you've been working on this Lyle Smith statue, which, by the way, is tremendous. Yeah. How'd that all come about?
Well, I think it didn't just happen overnight. I know that there was actually rumblings and things that were going on prior to me taking over for the position. Michelle Bourgeau was in my position before me, and he was kind of heading that up. And I think with just everything with him, Coach Smith turning 100 years old, and with Ben Victor being on campus, the artist, I think just it kind of caught a lot of steam, and it players were coming out of the woodworks to say, hey, I would support something like this. And here we are. So it's been about, I think we got the go ahead about early January of this year. And obviously time was of essence, because with Coach Smith turning 100, that we wanted to get it done. And here we are.
And Ben Victor came on campus to do Steve Appleton.
Yes.
Right? At the other end of campus.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
well, yeah, he came. He did
Custer
Steve Appleton.
Persuaded him to stay.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I'm pretty fortunate to have it. And he's literally a stone's throw from our offices, so it was nice to be able to just walk over and see the progress.
So you could have your statue done anytime.
I think there's a few more people ahead of me in that one.
Bart, I was told there's a good story that Coach Smith was told on his 100th birthday the statue.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah, we didn't announce it because we had a little bit of a birthday party for him there in the Hall of Fame, and he had some family in town, and it was appropriate for us to, you know, obviously with his family in town, to announce that we were going to do the statue, and that was just March 17th.
Dusty, I know you've been to a lot of campuses that I haven't. Sometimes you go to campuses and the statues are so-so. This one's really good.
It is really good.
Yeah, no, for us, we walk by it each morning coming into our office, but again, we rely on expertise of Benjamin Victor. As far as the size of the statue, you know, was it going to be too big? Was it going to be dominated by a stadium? But I just think it's just a perfect fit. And it's something that's already drawn a crowd each and every day. And we can't wait for more and more people to see it in person.
Yeah, a lot of people taking selfies with that thing. We were out there Saturday before the game. Wow. It was constant.
I was at the dedication. I did not have a chance to talk with Coach Smith. What was his reaction? What were the former players? Because I got a kick out of the seven or eight guys that played for him in 1958 that you guys had part of the ceremony to unveil.
Sure, yeah. I think he was certainly overwhelmed and very happy about it, and maybe even a little humbled, certainly. I've talked with his son, Bill Smith, often throughout this process in trying to gauge how Coach Smith feels about it. And I think, like anybody else that maybe is going to have a statue, you kind of don't know what to think about it. Yeah, you're honored and humbled at the same time. So I think he was certainly happy to see it. And we were all happy the fact that he was able to see it go up. I
mean, absolutely.
I think that's was certainly important to us.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're talking with Bart Hendricks and Dusty Clements, KBOI News Time, 8:43.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
Talking with Bart Hendricks and Dusty Clements this morning. Dusty, BSU is opening Taco Bell Arena tonight, allowing fans the opportunity to test drive, I like that, and select their favorite seats for the upcoming season. Available inventory will be marked. Existing ticket holders will have the opportunity to upgrade, too, if they want to move to better seats. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you know, it seems hard to believe as we just got our home football season underway, but basketball will be here, you know, within the next 6 weeks. October 28th, we get that started. But going through the process right now of current season ticket holders in priority order, looking at upgrading their seats and adding seats, but then becomes the moment when the public can come in and see the exact locations that are available. So we invite people to come to Taco Bell Arena starting at 4 o'clock. And then, of course, if today doesn't work, They can reach out to our athletic ticket office at any point leading into the season, and we can walk through seat locations and get people on board with Coach Rice. I know they're excited. There's a lot of new faces, a couple new coaches on the coaching staff, but I think the talent is there. So we're all looking forward to yet another edition of Coach Rice's basketball team.
Dusty, I know that you guys did that with football. I would think that that's a great way for people to really get an idea of where they sit, whether they want to sit higher, lower. You can kind of see what's out there. And like you say, put your butt in the seat and see, look your eyes out on the court or in the football field, as the case might be, and really get a feel of where you're going to sit.
Yeah, I think anytime you make an investment like that, you know, there's a pretty significant cost with tickets in certain areas. So you'd like to see exactly what you're going to get. And it gives people that chance. So it's hard to replicate that through a phone call or online. So, you know, you can come down in person and maybe it's close to restrooms or concessions, or if you have kids, it's on an aisle, things like that, that you can definitely see what you're going to get. But again, wide open for people, parking available in the West Stadium lot. So come on in and we'll have staff on hand to answer any questions and get everyone taken care of.
Football season has just been one home game, one away game, so there's still opportunities for people to get in. Great crowd, fourth largest crowd at Albertson Stadium on Saturday night against Washington State. Some more good games to come.
Yeah, I feel great about opening the season with that crowd. And we just want to let people know there's still options to get on board with this team for 2016. We have a three-game mini plan still on board that covers our next game, Utah State, BYU, and UNLV. So three of our five remaining games, and you know the pricing on that starts at $155. So we think it's a pretty good option for people to come enjoy the Broncos. You know, single game sales are live, so people can purchase their exact seats for any of our remaining five games. There's still a chance for people to enjoy a majority of the season, and we still have two kickoff times that are to be determined: Utah State and Colorado State. So. I think everyone is very excited about what we've seen thus far. No question. Exciting team, and could very easily be a memorable season with some special things happening. So we invite you to get on board now while there's still room.
Bart, 30 years on the blue turf.
Yeah.
10-year anniversary of the Fiesta Bowl win.
Yep.
Throughout the entire season, you're going to be honoring, you know, the team on the blue.
Yep.
As well as the team that won that Fiesta Bowl. Tell us a little bit about what's going to be going on.
Well, look for the homecoming game. You know, we've asked that that team to join us in celebrating the 10-year reunion of that special team, and certainly put Boise State from a football standard on the map. I mean, I know that's been said a lot, but it's so true. And we've asked the majority or the whole team to come join us, and it's been great. It's been successful in terms of the response, and a lot of them are excited to be here, and to honor them is just something that, I mean, it's something that we'd have to do, right? I mean, and it's funny how things lined up with the 10-year, the 30-year, and then obviously with the 100-year-old with Lau Smith, and it's just things are lining up for a magical season, and I think that having that date, it's set October 15th, Colorado State. Come out and kind of relive that moment a bit.
Do you guys have an indication of how many might come? Because I know for the all-blue team, I'm rattling off Saturday night, the all-blue is like, this guy's in the NFL, this guy's in the NFL. Then there were other guys that were involved in coaching, like, you know, Kwiatkowski would have been gone. They were coaching members of our staff, Huff and Avalos. Spurbeck, I didn't think was going to come out of the locker room at halftime and be part of
there
it.
You go.
Your numbers were a little smaller because people had other commitments. Yeah. What about this one?
Well, it's a little bit better. Yeah. They're slowly trickling in with their RSVPs. I think I'm right about 30 thus far have gotten back to me and said, yeah, I'm absolutely in. So
I'll bet you that number climbs. You might double that number.
Oh, yeah, as we get
people
closer.
People are slow at...
Yeah, as we get closer to the game and with the excitement of the team as it continues, I think that we'll see the numbers increase. The goal is 60. I'd like to get 60 of these guys out of there.
Anything special? I mean, halftime, they can be out on the field. Dusty, are there things going on anything the fans could watch? Or
yeah, being homecoming, there's events leading into that game the whole week. But I know working
gonna be
with,
in the parade.
I don't know about being in the parade, but
come on, Bart.
Well, we can. There's lots of things, lots of options. Let's put it that way.
But working with Varsity B, those you know, there's a golf tournament on Friday that they'll be a part of. And then, of course, Saturday, halftime recognition. So we definitely look forward to embracing that team and making it a really big deal, making them feel the love from Bronco Nation.
And I know you had yesterday luncheon. I think it was luncheon number two. Luncheons were very popular. They went away for a few years. You guys have brought them back.
Yeah, no, exactly right. We've had our two of our six luncheons thus far, and they are on Mondays, and the next one is the 26th of September, and they're essentially every other week. But we've been very fortunate. We have Coach Harson there. You know, I thought he was very engaging yesterday, took questions from the crowd. So we were just talking about what a rare opportunity it is to be able to ask the head coach, you know, of a top 20 program a question. You know, so you can come out. They're at the Stickle Sky Center. If you walk up, they're $20. And we just we think it's a real fun environment. There's no setting like it. Stickle Sky Center. You're awesome. Looking over downtown Boise, and we're hearing from Coach Harson. But like yesterday, we heard from Sean Garris and the volleyball program and Corey Immels with cross country. We're hosting the Mountain West Championship. So it also gives you an opportunity to look behind the curtain with what else is going on in Bronco athletics outside of football. But again, Coach Harson's been an integral part of that. We appreciate his time during a busy time. And then we'll also have Coach Rice, Coach Presnell with basketball as we get closer to that season, be part of the luncheons.
All right, KBOI News Time, 8:52. It's a Bronco Tuesday.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
Talking with Bart Hendricks and Dusty Clements, broncosports.com has a deal where if you have a memory of anything that happened on the blue, you can go to broncosports.com/blue30 and give your memories. Talking to Lance Seller, and he actually said that when they first put the blue turf in, Lance, so
yeah.
May or may not be true, that he put decoys out on the field, and they actually got ducks to come in and land on the field. He said they did it before it was lined. And I don't know whether or not to believe him because, I mean, that's been the big story
sure.
for all those years. So somebody actually tried it, and Lance Sellers at least says it worked.
Well, he's a big hunter.
He is
so
a big hunter.
I know that I would sway on the side of maybe that's true, yeah. just based on his history with hunting and being on the Outdoor Channel and that all that. But I know there is that urban myth, if you will, if they yep. crash land on the blue.
Yep.
Certainly never seen it. But you hear about it.
I don't think the birds are that stupid.
No.
No, I think they tend to look for the texture of water. In other colors,
so. Yeah.
I think they see in shades of gray.
The only bird that I know that really kind of crash landed was in 2009 when the duck kind of crash landed.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yep.
I was Absolutely. In the athletic department in the sports information at that time, like 1986, and still going to school. And people used to call and ask us about that, and we'd tell them it was true. Just
yeah,
as general, you know, just because it was a good story.
All right, anybody with any questions, who can they call? We got about 30 seconds left. Who can they call? How can they get in touch with you guys?
Sure, Bronco Athletic Association. We're always there for any question. And if we don't know the answer, we can connect you with that person. And it's 426-3556. You can always email us, baa@boisestate.edu. We're there. And, of course, we have a web presence, BroncoAthleticAssociation.com. So All we're right. there for Bronco Nation and would love to get more people engaged.
All right. Thanks, guys. KBOI News Time, 8:56. We're going to take a news break. We'll be back with Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:06. You heard the latest, Chris.
The latest about...
The internet's going crazy because they think Hillary Clinton has a body double.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So she's off dying somewhere, and the body double is making
her
movie? Personal appearances.
What was that movie where the president's
Dave?
Dave, yeah.
Yeah.
Where
With Kevin Kline?
Yeah, the president was on life support down in a catacomb under the...
Yeah, they had him down in a very, very,
White
very...
White House or Capitol building.
Cold room, and then he died, but nobody knew it because his lookalike...
Dave.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because when Dave decided to start acting like a president, he just started doing what he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, cutting the budget and putting cabinet meetings on television so people wouldn't be able to say, you know, something that they
smoke-filled room.
That they wouldn't say on television. Yeah.
Among speculation, Now, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's health is failing. Another theory is gaining traction online. She might have a body double. Now, listen to this.
All right.
The only evidence of this theory are photographs taken September 11th when Clinton ducked out of a 9/11 anniversary ceremony in New York because she felt overheated and battling pneumonia.
Right.
Are you at the story?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you see the picture where they, some say the differences in details, cheekbones, smooth versus wrinkled skin, and body composition.
Smaller stomach.
Yeah, smaller stomach.
Coat fits as if it's larger.
Larger cheekbones.
Larger smoother
neck.
Now, you know, my eyesight.
I'm looking
at this picture, and I don't see any difference at all.
Yeah.
But that would be the whole point of having a body double.
Yeah. So. And there's apparently a woman who does Hillary Clinton impressions, yeah, whatever you want to call them. And they'd say it was her, but she was in Los Angeles, so there went that. But they show some other pictures if you scroll down.
Oh, yeah, there's it said, the person outside Chelsea's apartment has skinny legs and torso. You decide.
Well, how easy is it to retouch pictures?
Oh, very.
I mean, with all the stuff you can put her head on a lizard's body.
And even if you don't retouch photos, a person can have a lot of makeup on, or from different angles, people look sometimes like different people.
Yeah.
Depending on the picture.
Yeah, they do. And they've got several pictures. Actually, I'll give them credit for this. Pretty well done. They've got several pictures of both of them side by side.
There's even one guy who says that on September 11th, that she wasn't surrounded by Secret Service. And if she came out of the apartment? If it's true that she was not in, if that was not in fact Hillary Clinton, then that would make sense that she had no Secret Service detail.
Mm-hmm. Trended side by side comparisons raise uncomfortable conspiracy questions.
All conspiracy questions are kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah. And like you said, many thought it was strange she wasn't surrounded by security for part of the day. She took her time walking along a sidewalk, telling spectators she was feeling great, stopped to pose for a photo with a young girl.
Here's a chart, the two pictures side by side.
Yeah.
Hair is flat, has no body. Hair has many distinct and thin highlights. And then later when she emerged, hair is full and lifts off of scalp. Also, hair sticks together in large groups. Well, she might have taken a nap.
Down her hair.
Face has less fat, especially around cheeks. And in the second picture, face is fat. Check fat near earlobes and neck near cheekbones.
Once again, you can retouch photos.
Yeah, and this
so
isn't
easily.
What this is. This isn't necessary. It's in USA Today. But,
it is.
But that particular chart is not, I even skipped a word. It said face is fat and ugly. And I thought, you know, that's kind of mean. So I didn't say that. But it's only in USA Today because it was on Facebook or Twitter. And they have reprinted somebody's Twitter feed.
Yeah, there's a lot of tweets in here. After famous Clinton impersonator Teresa Barnwell, that was her name, first played along, tweeting she might have been in New York that day. She later said she was in L.A. during the time of the photos and told people to calm down.
Yeah, it says, okay, people, calm down. I was in L.A. today all day, was just messing with your crazy conspiracy-minded little heads. Go to bed. And it was about 1 in the morning when she said that.
Not 1 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, that's the latest, hottest conspiracy theory. May or may not be true. We'll let you decide. What do you think, Chris?
Well,
I liked the movie Dave.
I did too. But at first glance, I still think that's Hillary Clinton. I mean, you know, a person can look slightly different after lunch than they did before.
Well, or
after, you know, throwing up repeatedly or whatever she's been doing.
The light, whatever, you know, could be different.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's a good point.
I don't know. So anyway, that's the latest. We try to bring you conspiracy theories as they happen. So,
and there's that one part.
Interesting.
There's that one part that said her stomach is smaller in the second picture. Well, maybe she's sucking it in the second picture.
Or maybe she had a big lunch.
Unless you've got a 360 view of her body, I'm not going to speculate on that.
Now, let me ask you this.
All right.
Are you 100% sure Hillary Clinton doesn't have a body double?
I'm not 100% sure I don't have a body double.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure she doesn't have a body double either. So you're saying it could be true?
I'm saying.
Of course it could.
So you're saying there's a chance. Yes, I'm saying there's a chance, but I mean, not 100%, but on some things I'm maybe 99, 98% sure.
I'm kind of scoffing at this, but I'm not completely ruling it out.
Well, me neither.
Because strange things.
Although, I mean,
anything could happen.
Having a body double is probably a good idea if you're just doing a thing where you're waving. But if you have to get up and make a speech, that might be considerably more difficult.
Yeah.
And especially if you're making two speeches at the same time on different coasts. I think people are going to notice that.
Yeah, they might. They might indeed. KBOI News Time, 9:14.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Kevin Bacon has a body double. Could have gone. Big Bacon Festival.
Yeah, it's in Brattleboro, Vermont. It's called the Bacon Fest, and it's in the news because
they invited Kevin.
Yeah, they formally invited Kevin Bacon to come to Bacon Fest, and he formally wrote them back and said he would love to be there, but he's shooting a movie in Vancouver or something.
Yeah, and his body double was busy somewhere else.
You ever notice how many movies are shot in Vancouver and Toronto?
Yeah, because they're
cheaper.
They have big downtown. unrecognizable downtown.
Yeah, you can just make
especially
it look like
Vancouver.
You can make it look like a generic big American city.
Yep, exactly. Okay. KBOI rewards code double D O U B L E double B O U
double
D O U B L E
double your pleasure, double your fun.
Double mint gum. All right. Go to 670kboi.com, enter double, earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
And then, of course, double in honor of the fact that, not the fact, the rumor that Hillary Clinton might have a body double.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, she might be hiding out in a hospital somewhere in serious condition.
Yeah.
We don't know that it's not true.
Well, we don't know that it is either.
True.
All right, let's go to Scotty in Middleton. Scotty, good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Clinton apparently was speaking on CNN, and he admitted that his wife, Hillary, has had this illness for many years. And as far as doubles concerned, I believe there are quite a few of them get doubles.
Mm-hmm.
Winston Churchill had a double during the Second World War, and Adolf Hitler... how they found out that it wasn't Adolf Hitler when they found the body. One of his privates was missing, and Saddam Hussein had a double. Quite a few of them had doubles, so I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Anyway, gentlemen, hey, I'll get off here and let someone else talk.
All right.
You have a good day.
Thanks, Scotty.
Have another good program. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You know, and he's right about a lot of the, well, especially dictators.
Yeah.
Because dictators know that there are always people out there who want to shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
So they hire another
or
guy.
Poison them they or
hire,
whatever.
Yeah, they hire another guy to walk through the crowd and wave, and they watch until they're sure everything is clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, Hillary Clinton's weekend health scare already has started to stir speculation. We speculated about it yesterday, about whether Democratic officials should be discussing the possibility of a Plan B.
And how interesting would it be? Because we discussed that yesterday. The Democratic National Committee would choose a different candidate if Hillary Clinton ends up not being able to run for president anymore.
Yeah, their bylaws say they have the power to fill, quote, vacancies in nominations for the office of president and vice president.
But there aren't any particular rules. If they wanted to, they could put Tim Kaine in there, who's running for vice president.
Correct.
Or they could put Bernie Sanders in there, which I doubt they're going to do. Or they could take any other Democrat.
Yeah. Like Joe Biden.
Yeah. And it might even be good strategy as a party. I don't know if it's, you know, that's the sort of thing Hillary Clinton would do. But, you know, because she wants to be president. I mean, she wanted to be president when she was a little girl, I think. But it's something that would be, I guess, smart, because so many people have said they don't want to vote for either candidate. They just want a third choice. And
anybody.
But if they still want to vote for a major party and have a third choice, that would be the way to get one.
Yeah. Under party rules, the DNC chair, currently Donna Brazile, could call a special meeting, fill the vacancy by majority vote of those present.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say how many of the DNC has to be present. Analysts still see this scenario as exceedingly unlikely. It appears party leaders have no authority to sideline Clinton, meaning the special meeting would kick in only if she voluntarily stepped aside.
Or suddenly physically unable to do anything.
Correct. The nominee and her aides say she's recovering and feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
But after Clinton left the 9/11 Memorial Sunday stumbling and being helped into an SUV by multiple aides, an incident in the campaign tied to a recent pneumonia diagnosis and other factors, some Democrats are thinking about the process.
Now, I don't think there's anybody out there who, because of pneumonia, who was going to vote for Hillary that's now going to vote for Donald Trump because she might have, you know, poor health. They're not going to switch parties on this.
No, absolutely not. I would agree with you. But I don't know. It's an interesting, the latest in a series of seemingly never-ending scenarios in mm-hmm. this election. Former Al Jazeera and MSNBC anchor David Schuster tweeted Sunday the DNC was considering what he called an emergency meeting to talk about a Clinton replacement, although his source emphasized her status as a nominee
mm-hmm.
was up to her, not to the party.
Right. That's one of those things where it's if this and if that and
yeah.
if this and if that.
Connect
and
dots.
So far, none of those things have happened.
True. KBOI News Time, 9:26. We'll take a news break and be back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right. We are back talking body doubles.
Yeah, various things.
And people being inserted, whatever. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Well, these conspiracy, I mean, they all follow the same thing.
Yeah.
They ask questions like, you know, and then they will just make statements like that there was no Secret Service around there, which I'm sure there was. Remember that little girl that ran up there?
Yes.
There was a group of people standing back there. What was keeping those people from walking down the sidewalk? I mean, there was Secret Service around there.
And the other conspiracy theory was somebody, the film that showed her stumbling and then she's helped into her limousine or car, whatever. And then they show it again from another angle, and it doesn't look as bad, and they say it's like a body double recreation or whatever, because apparently the first video disappeared from everything. I don't know.
Well, my dad, Harry Truman, I think, went up to Sun Valley one time, and he went on a train that went through there, that train that would take skiers.
Right.
The ski train.
Been on that
and,
train.
Yeah, Dad said that there was somebody who looked like, because it went right by our house, the train did, but he said there was somebody that looked like Harry Truman in every car. You know, and so they, you know, they may have done that, you know, for security. And they probably do have somebody that looks enough like Hillary Clinton if there was an emergency to throw in a body double, I mean, I just think that would be a pretty common thing to have for security. If there was some instance and you wanted to get the president or a candidate out of someplace quickly, and, you know, you put them in a disguise and then throw everybody off.
Well, who wants that job?
What's that?
Who wants that job? Because they're going to get shot at.
Well, I don't know, the Secret Service people, that's sort of their job. They're supposed to jump in front of the bullet, too. So I guess it's not a very good job. That'd be like being food taster for the king. You'd get to eat a lot of nice food, but there's just always that thought that it might be that steak might be your last one. You know, that's what I always wondered, who the food taster was. Did they just get some criminal or somebody they didn't like, or
some
was
lackey.
It a voluntary position?
A serf,
you know.
Yeah,
but they all these, you know. And the thing was, you know, if she would have said she was sick and didn't go to the 9/11 ceremony, could you imagine all the stuff that would have been out there like that? You know, they've been saying, "Oh, she was faking it," and she just didn't want to go. So, you know, you just can't win.
No,
you know, with the conspiracy theory, it doesn't matter what you do. And any illness, you know, any serious illness that would cause a cough, it'd be something like tuberculosis or lung cancer. And I don't think they would try to hide something like that.
No, well, you couldn't hide it for long.
No, it'd be too much, you know, and like a cough or pneumonia. I don't know. I had a cough for about 2 months this summer, and I started to think that I've never had any allergies in my life, and I'm just starting to wonder if maybe I was starting, because I kept having this tickle in my throat.
I've had a bad summer myself.
Anyway,
all right, thanks, Rich.
You never know.
Yep.
And people later in life, you can develop an allergy to something that you weren't allergic to earlier.
Why did you look at me when you said later in life?
The clock is behind you.
Oh.
Yeah.
I get no respect.
Ah, sorry.
So,
it was an involuntary action.
So Hillary may or may not have the body doubles. That's amazing.
I had a quick note here. Do you know we live in the sixth happiest state?
Nope.
Yeah, according to Wallet Hub, the 10 happiest states, number 10, California, 9, South Dakota, 8, Nebraska, 7, Iowa, 6, Idaho, 5, Colorado, 4, Hawaii, 3, North Dakota, 2, Minnesota, and 1, Utah.
So Utah's the happiest?
Yeah, apparently. I didn't know people in North Dakota were happy. I've always heard that it was just the opposite.
Let me tell you why. Because the salaries and the jobs are good up there.
Oh, I see. The 10 least happy states, number 10, Missouri, 9, Michigan, 8, Oklahoma,
Mississippi.
It's up there. 7, Tennessee, 6, Louisiana, 5, Arkansas,
Mississippi,
4,
Mississippi,
yeah. 3, Kentucky, 2, Alabama, and 1, West Virginia. So apart from Michigan...
No money in any of those states.
Apart from Michigan, the South.
Yeah, well, no money.
Well, yeah, good point.
And Michigan's lost all its jobs.
But it said that it was based on... life satisfaction, that's on surveys, and then the rate of depression, they just, you know, check with doctors. The suicide rate, you can look that up. Commute times, we don't have, you know, huge commute times here.
Nope.
Job security, the divorce rate, weather, and the number of things to do. Now, I don't know what they mean by number of things to do.
There's lots to do here.
Well, sure. I mean, you know,
there's quite a bit to do everywhere if you have money.
Well, that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
Boise always gets advertised as a place to move to if you love the great outdoors. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there are a lot of things to do outdoors. I mean, of course, there are not as many things to do as there would be in a bigger city or a state with a larger population. But you're right. There's plenty to keep you occupied.
Yeah, and, you know, Idaho's listed as one of the best states to retire because, you know, property values are higher than they were, but they're pretty low compared to the rest of the nation. Taxes, although everybody bitches about it, are far less than they are in most places in the country.
We just haven't gotten it down to a 0% rate yet.
Yeah, and which is not sustainable. 943.
Unless you're the Unabomber.
Unless you're the Unabomber. 9:43, we'll be back.
The closing of ITT has a number of local students still wondering what they're going to do. We'll have more on that coming up at the top of the hour on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
Tuesday morning. Paul Jay and Chris's body double.
How would you like to be just approached on the street and said, you know, you look a lot like Hillary Clinton?
I wouldn't like that at all.
Or Donald Trump. I mean, I wouldn't like that at all either. Would you be flattered or horrified? I'm just saying, where do they find these body doubles?
I look like an actor, something Santori from way, way back.
Rini Santoni?
Yeah, Rini Santoni.
Yeah.
And I also look like one of the...
Oak Ridge Boys. Well, you did when you had a... You had a bigger mustache.
Don't look like either one of them
You had 70s hair and mustache at the time.
Oak Ridge. Have you ever looked like anybody?
I don't know. I look like a lot of fat actors, I'm sure. Okay, there was actually an actor whose name was Schneider, Dan Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can ever remember him being on was that show Head of the Class in the 80s.
Yeah, I never
was. Howard Hessman was the teacher, and they were all brilliant kids. But this kid was in there, and I had people tell me that I looked like him.
Hmm.
Not flattering.
No. Well, whatever. All right. The typical college graduate in the United States makes $23,000 more a year than the typical high school graduate. This is not bashing high school guys. It's giving you hope.
Oh. even though it costs about $40,000 a year to make that extra $23,000?
There you are.
Yeah.
While a college degree generally qualifies workers for higher-paying jobs, there are a number of lucrative positions that require no more than a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
To identify the highest-paying jobs for high school graduates, 24/7 Wall Street reviewed occupational data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Okay.
Of the 150 jobs reviewed that require just a high school education, 13 have median annual salaries higher than $60,000.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah.
I mean, do tell.
Yeah.
What are they?
All right. Number one, transportation, storage, and distribution managers.
Okay. I can see that. I've known guys that managed like trucking companies.
Yeah.
And it was because they were good with mechanics and good with truckers and stuff.
Supervising. Yeah,
exactly.
They're an 86.6.
Nice.
86.6. Pretty good. This one kills me. Elevator installers and repairers.
Yeah. I imagine that would be a difficult job.
Median annual wage, $80,000. Detectives and criminal investigators.
You know, I guess that's true. You don't have to have a degree in, what do they call it, criminology just criminal justice, I guess is what they used to call it, the major. You don't have to have a degree to be a detective.
Nope. High salaries in the profession due largely to the stresses and dangers associated with the job.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But you make a median annual wage of $77,200. First-line supervisors of non-retail sales workers. In other words, you run a portion of the company.
Okay,
you're a supervisor.
So you're like the sales manager there.
Yeah.
You send people out to do their selling.
Yeah.
Okay.
More than 40% of these guys are self-employed. Basically, you have a small business, boss people around.
Yeah, right.
And earn $72,000.
And again, helps if you went to business school. You didn't have to, though.
Yeah. And what does it say? What kind of training? None.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Transportation inspectors. They're responsible for conducting safety inspections for all modes of transportation.
Gotcha.
Flight, rail, et cetera. Typical training, moderate on-the-job training.
Yeah.
$70,800.
Well, it was like years ago when a whole lot of jobs used to have apprentices.
Yeah.
And that's how you learned the job.
Including this.
You apprenticed with somebody. And, you know, some of the best journeyman carpenters and you know, people who... lay sidewalks and driveways and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Bricklayers. They started out as apprentices, and they're fantastic at it.
Yep.
And then there are some companies that will hire just anybody.
Postmasters and mail superintendents. My dad was the postmaster of Wadhams Grove, Illinois.
All right.
Yeah. He didn't talk about it much.
I know a guy who's been a postmaster, but I think he went to San Francisco City College.
Yeah. Median annual wage, $70,000 plus. Mm. Moderate on-the-job training. Projected change from 2014 to 2024, down 26%. So you don't want to get in that.
Yeah.
Media and communication equipment workers. Huh? Median annual wage, $70,590. That's bull what?
Kevin, is that what you're making?
Bull shirt. Yeah. Typical training.
All right, then.
Typical training, short-term on-the-job training. It's not as good, yeah. Some of the highest-paying jobs that do not require a college degree still often require training beyond high school.
Yeah.
For example, before elevator installers and repairers can earn their salary, they must complete apprenticeship programs.
When we've talked about minimum wage jobs and stuff like that, you know, and people protesting, and they say, you know, I work just as hard as that guy over there. Why should I have a minimum wage job?
Plan ahead.
And what I asked them was, how long was your training when you first got the job? And some of them said, it was almost a half hour.
Yeah. Got to plan ahead.
Within 30 minutes, I had mastered the job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you can do that, then chances are you're not going to make a great deal of money.
Yep. Highest-paying jobs were identified as the 13 jobs with a median annual wage greater than $60,000. Total employment, projected employment change, the share of workers in a given occupation that are self-employed, the typical mm-hmm. work experience. One of the things on the list is farmer.
Okay. Well, and, you know, there are so many agricultural colleges.
Exactly.
Where you can learn the farming business and learn how to maximize your profits mm-hmm. and run the whole operation. But, yeah, technically, I guess if you just want to farm, you need land.
And you learn that from your dad who was a farmer.
You bet.
It was the case. I don't know if it still is or not, with all these big farms. Or he could move to Farmington, New Mexico. He'd do any of those things. All right. We are out of time. I think I just saw Hillary Clinton's body double go by.
Are you sure it wasn't Hillary Clinton?
I don't know. There were people in sunglasses following her. I don't know. Something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org or stop by 2000 North El Dorado Sunday mornings at 10:30. See you tomorrow.
Something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Week one in the National Football League is always an exciting time. In week one, heck, even my Detroit Lions have a chance to win it all. But there's something new and disturbing that's all the rage. Several players decided to follow the trend and not stand during the playing of the national anthem. The move on Sunday was a protest against racial injustice. It also occurred on the 15th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. At least 60 cops were killed that day trying to save people from the smoldering Twin Towers. There was a football game I happened to attend a couple of weeks ago back at the United States Naval Academy. None of those players are millionaires, and all of them know something about real sacrifice. When the national anthem played and the flag they are sworn to defend was presented in Annapolis, everyone stood. In that moment, we all understood the anthem and the flag are about something far bigger than ourselves. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.